First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 6, from the verse number 17 to the verse number 21, which is the end of this epistle.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen.
In the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, the last part of the verse 6 and the verse number 7, the Apostle Paul is teaching against human pride and vanity. Just listen to these words for a moment.
Let no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it?
And now let's hear what James is telling us in the first chapter, verses 9 through 11.
Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways.
I'm under strong impression when I read the epistle to the Philemon, that he was a wealthy believer and a wonderful example of charity and loving kindness. The Apostle Paul in his epistle to Philemon in the first verse of the first chapter is addressing this believer as Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And in the same chapter, in the verse number 7, Paul is writing, For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Material possessions, like every other gift and blessing of the Lord to the believers, comes with an assignment, a serious responsibility. And like many other gifts that the human beings receive from the Lord, can be misused and abused. In this epistle, the first epistle to Timothy, in chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they be good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. It is impossible for me to imagine that in this church at Ephesus there was no regular teaching about charity and loving kindness, helping one another and taking care of the needy. Why was it necessary to charge them, to commend them? Could it be that some wealthy people, after their conversion, continue thinking and feeling the same way as they used to before their conversion? Could it be that some believers take their habitual selfishness and deficiency in godly concern for their fellow believers as a standard, something that is, quote, normal, unquote, for them? Some people that grew up in a wealthy family and inherited a lot of earthly possessions might be deceived by Satan to think that they are some higher class, and the poverty of the poor and the needy brethren to these wealthy believers might appear to be God's perfect order that they should not damage in any way. Here in this verse number 17, we are advised not to be high-minded. Some other believers might have started their businesses and their working career as very poor or below average citizens of their region. And the Lord blessed their efforts and they become very wealthy, very prosperous. And Satan would like to make them feel that they are extremely skillful and able to accumulate so many riches, so much of the earthly goods, so they deserve to enjoy it. No disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ may think about himself or herself as being something so big, so above the others, as if the Lord himself could not maintain a good order in his fellowship, in his spiritual family here on earth, without such skillful, wealthy superman. We may not trust in uncertain riches if we are wealthy or poor or average, if we are very skillful business people or not that skillful altogether. Yes, we should do our best to be successful, to be efficient. But in everything, we must trust in the living God. He is the one giving us richly all things to enjoy. The Almighty God gave the wealth to the wealthy, that they might enjoy not only that wealth and comfort in having their earthly possessions, but they also might enjoy sharing and doing the will of the Lord, using all that they received from the Lord to honor the Lord and to glorify His name, to be a blessing to the fellow believers and especially to those that are in need. Having earthly possessions, money, wealth, and using it for charity and loving kindness is a ministry, is a gift of the Lord. The wealthy disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are not the owners of that wealth. They are the distributors. The Lord is the owner. Charity in simplicity from a pure heart of a Christian is a blessing of the Lord to those that received the gifts and the help given to them. It's even greater blessing and a greater joy for those that are sharing, that are giving. When we practice charity, doing the will of the Lord from the heart, we are developing in our heart, in our soul, a strength, a power for the times of difficulties, the times of greater needs. Learning, studying the Word of God without practicing in our daily walk will leave our hearts empty and our soul feeble. Living to please the Lord is the true wealth. For every gift, every opportunity, everything that we have, whether we are poor or rich, we should pray to the Lord continually and seek His guidance how to use all the gifts and blessings we received from the Lord to His honor and glory, that we be wise and faithful stewards of His goods. Like in everything else that we receive from the Lord, in material possessions, in wealth, in money, there is a danger that we waste the substance of our Master. But there is also an opportunity that we invest all of His gifts and blessings into that endless, blessed eternity, honoring the Lord, glorifying His name in our earthly possessions, in the way how we manage what we have, We worship the Lord, and we love our fellow believer. We are preserved from trusting in earthly possessions, and we are growing in trusting the Lord. In the verse number 19, I read that the wealthy ones should be laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, from the verse number 19 to the verse number 21, the Lord is teaching, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." When we wisely, prayerfully, lovingly practice charity, the Lord is performing a great and amazing miracle. The earthly goods that are of limited value and duration here in this life are replaced with the heavenly treasures filled with blessings and rewards to those that walked in the light of the Word of God. How many times in this world in which we live we experienced drastic changes. The material values that were very precious yesterday are nothing today. How many times there were crises, how many times wars, destructions, disasters, how many times we are threatened with the loss of everything that we have in material goods. What we invested in the ministry of the Lord is preserved and kept well because it has been done unto Him, and with Him there are no losses, no damages. In this same epistle, 1st Epistle to Timothy in chapter 4, verse number 7, Paul is saying, "Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." In this same chapter 6, in the verse number 4 and 5, we can see that there were some among the disciples that were proud, empty-minded, that enjoyed blabbering, asking silly questions, arguing, and some seemed to be going so far as to battle in words. At the end of the verse number 5, Paul is saying, "From such withdraw thyself." Don't go on and on. One rebuke, second, third at the most. Then you follow the Lord. And who wants to follow Satan? Let him do it. That's their wrong. And here in the verse number 20, "O Timothy," once more, at the end of the epistle, the Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy, of course, writing with such an affection and with love of an experienced believer toward a younger one. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. The wisdom of the world is foolishness in the sight of the Lord." Some disciples in the verse number 21, professing that they are scientists, that they use some scientific logical thinking, actually have erred concerning the faith. We are not reading here about the true science, the laws of the nature are the laws of God, but these natural laws are not contrary to the Word of God, rather in harmony with the Word of God. But the Word of God itself is our spiritual foundation, the foundation of our faith and salvation. Boasting with the worldly wisdom is foolishness before the Lord, and it easily can end up as giving place unto Satan. It is very helpful and very meaningful for our spiritual welfare and our continuous growth in the faith and the knowledge of the Word of God, not to puff up, not to be boastful, not to be proud, but rather humbly walking before the Lord and seeking to be helpful to our fellow believers, especially to those that are in special needs. Another wonderful thing in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, and I think more or less in all of the epistles, is the beginning and the end. It starts with the grace of God and they're closing with the grace of God, so that we can keep ourselves in that full awareness from the beginning to the end. The whole epistle is by the grace of God, and so is our whole spiritual life. Paul encouraged Timothy to labor, to work, never to give up, never to cease, never to slack, and investing all of his strength and time, health and intelligence, understanding, revelation, everything that he received from the Lord, investing all of that in the ministry. Consider that all of that is nothing but the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here again, the Apostle Paul is closing this first epistle to Timothy with "Grace be with thee. Amen."